Obanigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor of Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustee, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustee, along with our co-host, Joe Hembrick, who may be joining us later, who's a historian and an educator throughout the Linwood and Compton Unified School Districts. We want to welcome each and every one of you to the Conscious Corner, where we speak truth to the people and speak truth to ourselves, where we ask courageous questions and we be deep thinkers. We want to thank our panel and people that tuned in today. We generally start the show for a quick 5 minutes of good things that Black people have done this week that you may know of. Good deeds and our achievements, our good accomplishments in struggle. And we just generally go around the horn and just see who have anything good to say about Black achievements, like Dr. Strong's new book. That's a good achievement. And her other writings. Or you can just talk about something that you saw or heard on TV. So we're going to start with Miss Henderson. Reverend Henderson? She says she's multitasking. So what about Linda? And Linda Hilton? What about Carolyn Moore?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, Linda.
Trying to get into the screen.
Okay.
Different things that have happened this week.
That's good. Excellent.
Well, you know, I'm in the city of Memphis, so.
That's good.
But
where we are, there got to be some good happening.
Oh, definitely.
Pull your camera down, Linda. If you pull your camera down, we'll be able to see you.
I don't want you to see me because I'm, like I'm saying, I'm working on a dress.
Okay.
I'm in my studio, forgive me. But good things are happening. I did a nomination. They're having nominations for volunteers for the city. And Memphis has quite a few people that do great things and volunteer all over. But this was an opportunity for me to nominate my husband.
Okay.
He never asked for praise. He's a veteran, retired from the Army, retired from the VA, and he volunteers with Rise to Read, teaching kids to read. He mentors Grizzly Prep, Maceo Walker Schools. He also volunteers with the VA Support Center here in the clothing closet and the food bank twice a week. And he's just an all-around good person. And for me this week, that has been a really good thing to be able to nominate him for
what's
that.
What's his name?
His name is Conrad Hilton.
Conrad.
Yes. Brother from the Bronx.
Oh, wow. Straight out of New York. Good. All right. Brother Strong, anything good, achievements that you read about and heard about?
I turned 41, March 21st.
That's really an achievement.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. What about Tana Gilbert? Are you there, Tana?
Tana Jabert.
Jabert, you're on mute. What about Ida?
Well, I'm proud of my friend and pastor, Reverend Dr. Cherry L. Strong, for writing this book amongst her other books. I'm happy that she's on this podcast. And I'm just excited about my church family who has jumped in to help me as I begin to relocate. Not all church families will do that. They'll pray with you. They'll talk about you. They'll talk to you. But when it comes down to the rubber meets the road and you're in a bind, that's when you know you're in a good place. So
that's
a good
beautiful.
Thing. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
What about Carolyn Moore?
Carolyn Moore reporting and blessed and blessed to support, continue to support our my pastor, Reverend Dr. Strong, as she continues her call to ministry and her writing. Amen.
Good. That's good. And Ida Redis.
Redis.
Ready.
Redis.
Any good news? Okay. Well.
Let me say that with all of the things that are going on in the city, there was a young man that stood up to try to see what was going on when I think it was at Walmart. He turned around and there was an altercation going on,
Oh,
and
wow.
he tried to stop the altercation. He ended up getting shot, but I'm just saying it was a good thing that he thought enough of another human being to try to stop something that was wrong that was going on. And so that's one good thing, and I think we need to do more of that to and it's got to start happening soon, sooner than later,
Okay.
because we're on a downhill slide
All
in
right.
Memphis.
And to add to that, one of our members of Mount Sinai at AME Church was in the store when the incident happened.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sister Mondella Woods
Really?
was
Yes.
in that
Okay.
Walmart, in that Walmart store, and they had to run for their lives. They didn't know what was happening.
Wow. Yeah.
Just
Oh,
wanted to
that
share.
was so sad.
She was one of the ones that evacuated out of the back door. So she was safe.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
Yeah.
excellent.
I didn't know that, but it just caught my attention that, we've got to start doing more of that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, I'll just go. Rush, do you have anything you want to
Ida might have some. She's unmuted now.
add? Ida?
Hi, everybody. I
Yeah, how
really
you?
don't have anything to say. This is my first time even tuning in, but I'm enjoying it. So I'm just going to be a listener for tonight.
All right. What about you, Rashiki?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge Professor Amin Ra, along with everybody, but today we were having a conversation, and we always discuss the podcast because we do it every week, twice a week, and we've been doing it for over 3 years now. And we focus on black agendas and things that's all black most of the time. And he mentioned to me that we have to start, or we need to look at the positive things that black people do. Because I'm good to point out some negative aspects of black people. But he brought it to my attention today that we should focus on the good that we do and accomplish and all the accomplishments that we do have. And so I kind of took that as to I need to start being a little bit more optimistic in my thought process. So I take my hat off to Professor Rob because he's always doing a lot of things for the black community and has been. And I'm talking about in the community doing programs, and I mean, it's just a tremendous amount of things he's has done, and he shows great leadership, and he's always counseling. So I want to point out that he brought some things to my attention today that I need to consider doing more of. So I appreciate Professor Amara and everybody that's on the panel here participating in this much needed type of platform that we provide here. So welcome everybody.
And again, Asante Sano wishes many thanks to you, Rashiki, for those words of recognition. Deeply appreciate our brotherhood, and deeply appreciate your role in keeping this podcast going, your resources, you and your family, and just being strong. Good things. Our brother Joe Hembrick, our co-host, has joined us. Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana has joined us, and someone else from out the church. I'm not going to hold it up because you come to hear Dr. Strong, but I'm just going to mention just two or three things. First of all, Kareem Jabbar, formerly Lewis Cinder, sold all his championship rings, trophies, and everything, raised $2.8 million, which is he going to dedicate to educational programs for young people. He said, why have these things just on trophy cases and locked up when I can put this money to use for that? Russell Westbrook for the Los Angeles Clippers has purchased, is building 180 low-income homes for people in Los Angeles. This is an achievement that's very important. Second, we want to recognize all those students that's demonstrating. Those that's demonstrated at Adam Schiff, who's running for Senate House, and his discussion where he was giving a speech and demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. And we want to recognize all those that are demanding an immediate, unconditional ceasefire in Gaza and quit using food and disease as a weapon to wipe out that population and demand that America complicity in it stops. So there's students all over in major campuses. I got them listed, but I want to hear Dr. Strong also. So that's enough right now, but I got a lot of other things. You know, I follow the news. I look for achievements. Those that are getting straight A's and getting recognized and things. But anyway, we have a very distinguished guest who's going to be writing, who is a prolific writer, a minister, an activist, a person that has demonstrated an enormous amount of just using her pencil and her faith as a weapon and a tool for opening up the minds and the hearts of African people and anybody, in all humanity. So without further delay, we're going to let Dr. Strong talk about her book. And if anybody want to ask questions about it after she concludes, we will do that. So without further delay, a woman of womanism, Black womanism, a model of strength and a role model for all women. And you can tell by the way she raised her son and by the people that tuned in to hear that she didn't touch many. So without further delay, one of our presenters on this platform, and we welcome all of you to come back and hear other presentations. But without further delay, Dr. Terry Strong. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Brother Amin Ra. I appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity to come and just share about my new publication. Thank you, Brother Rasaki, for the invitation. Thank you so much. I am always humbled when I get an invitation. And I just want to also lift up that besides this publication, Brother Rasaki, I and some more individuals are working on a collaborative publication as well. So look forward in the near future for that as well. But I want to start with a story. Because when we are transparent, I believe in the older women being transparent and sharing with the younger women so that they can, their chances of succeeding as wives, mothers, workers, wherever they are, wherever God draws them to, that they are effective as, especially as a mother. The role of mother has been downplayed so much. And that really hurts the community. And so I want to share a story about my becoming a mother. And I don't mind being transparent because my story is not so different from some young girl's story today. I'm 63 today. I don't mind telling you that how old I am. I became a mother at 22 years old. And when I became a mother, I tried to stay in my lifestyle of partying and all of that. When I was had no children, no husband, none of that. You think you're carefree. You can party all you want. Party till 6 o'clock in the morning, then get up and go to church, Reverend Agnes. I did that.
Okay.
I remember doing that. But when I brought my son into the world, and when he was 6 months old, I won't tell the whole story. It's a long story, kind of long story. But I looked at my son after coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning, partying. And so I was so irritated with my mother who was babysitting for me. Now I'm mad at her. And I changed the direction of my anger and I pointed it to me because I said, my mother didn't have this child. She's not responsible for this child. And I began to cry out to God and say, God, I want to be a good mother like I had. Okay. And so I picked my baby up. Oh, he was so precious to me. And when I picked him up, I began to just wail, just crocodile tears, because I wanted to be a good mother to this baby who didn't ask to come here. And my mom, her always had Christian television on. And I dedicated my life to Christ right at that moment of humility and brokenness. And my heart just was melted to that contrite heart. And so I asked God to make me a good mother. And so I began to, as I began to raise him, I was began working at the jail, and so I found grown children that needed wisdom as well. And so I said, God, give me just some bullets of wisdom that I can share real quick, because these people are not going to be with me long. And so I began to just write down quotes that God would give me, and I would match it up with scripture. And so I had so many to come to me. This is the first edition, first book, Little Wiz, of all of those quotes that came to me that I would share with my son, that I would share with inmates, that even I shared with my second son when he came along. And so I hope that story, wherever this recording goes, I hope it blesses someone and helps someone to be a good parent, because that's what this book is about. Little Wiz, oh, I love him. Can you see his little face and his little glasses? Oh, he was, when I first saw him, the publisher sent me some pictures, and he said, pick from all of these. And when I laid my eyes on this character, I said, that is him. That is the young person. And so I said, we're going to change the title of this book, because I was republishing the book from We Wisdom. I said, I want his name to be Little Wiz. I want him to be a character. And I want him to be the Pied Piper of wisdom, that he shares wisdom with children, that he draws them out of negativity and draws them into wisdom. And so that's where this book, a long time coming, over time, written over time, with just small pieces of paper, something written down on, or in my journal, or wherever if I was at work and something came to me. And so my favorite page number is number three, page number 23. And this is 23. And 23 says, this is a quote, and this is something my mother shared with me, and I shared with my children. I used to hate to hear her say this, but I found myself saying the exact same thing. Mama always said, I don't care who does wrong, You do what's right. And that just, I hated that so much. But when I became a parent, I tell you, I understood exactly what she was talking about. And I even went further, and because when my children would ask me, Mama, what do you want for Christmas? And I would just say, be good. And I would say, that's something you got to give all year now. That's something you've got to give all year. And so that is, Little Wiz is available on wherever books are sold. If it's not in the bookstore, please ask for it if you go there and get it. But anywhere online, you can find Little Wiz. And so I just praise God for him giving me the wisdom early to instill these things in my children. It was an amazing journey. I learned just as much as I taught them. Does that make sense, parents? Anybody that's a parent, can you understand that? I learned just as much from raising them as I had to share to teach.
Yes.
And I'm so glad God gave me a mind to write these things down and to document them and to share them with my sons. I hope that it made them better men, better fathers, better parents, better husbands, you know, because that's what we need more of today. So are there any questions that you have? Anybody have any questions? Come on, fire away.
All right, Sister Linda Hill, Linda Moore, Carolyn Moore.
No questions. I'm just intrigued about listening to her story. And she's my pastor, and I'm sure I'll be, you know, talking with her about her book.
All right, then.
Okay.
All right. What about Tana Gibbert? Gibbert? Gibbert?
Tana Gibbert.
Gibbert.
Any questions?
Tanya? Tana?
Reverend Tona?
You're on mute. Okay, she may be busy. What about Agnes Henderson?
What I'm getting from what you described, those were just some interchanges that you had with people who were in prison. I mean, is that what was going on? Or was
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When the, you know, in a prison, you know, you're going to be there a certain length of time. But when in a jail setting, they could be there 1 hour, 1 day, 6 months, 4 years. And I always felt that I needed a little something just to put a stain on their brain, something that I could give quick that they would remember. One young man I talked with, he said, I've been a dope dealer for X amount of years. He said, and I told him, he said, I became a dope dealer over X amount of years. And I told him, I said, no, you didn't. I said, the first sale that you made, you became a drug dealer. I said, you just did it a long time. And I said, the minute that you make up your mind to stop, that's when you're going to stop being one. He said, ma'am, I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. I never thought about it. And that was just something so simple, yet it was hopefully impactful, that made him think.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's true. You know, another young man, he was saying he was in there for an attempted murder or something. And I was telling him, I said, you know what? I said, anger is not a good decision maker. And I had another guy ear hustling from across the room. And he just went, oh, he said, oh man. Now the one I'm talking to, he's really not reacting to what I said. It's the guy across the room. He said, ma'am, what did you just say? I said, anger is not a good decision maker. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Said, oh, ma'am. He said, I never thought about it like that. So you never know who you're sharing with. It could be something that you're somebody, someone you're talking directly to, or it can be somebody that's ear hustling. I even had the privilege of witnessing to someone who I never spoke a word to. It was a young lady in the female housing unit that I managed. And the Holy Spirit said, don't say anything to her, just greet her. And I would speak to her, say good morning, and go about my business. And I had the privilege also of having Bible study with the young ladies, you know, just ministering. Because for me, in my heart, my job was more ministry than it was work. And so this one young lady came up to me and she said, Sergeant Strong, she said, no, I was Officer Strong at the time. And she said, I was raised by a Christian mother and a Muslim father. And she said, because I've watched you, I want to be a Christian. Do our lives, our life, that was so humbling to me. So humbling to me, because the witness from my spirit without saying a word was a blessing. That was a blessing to me. She just does not know to this day that was a blessing to me. That was humbling to me. And so I just appreciate God using me to write Lil Wiz. I'm just so grateful. Any question, any other questions, comments?
One we go with Ida Redis.
Ida Redis.
Redis.
Here I am. Terry is my baby sister, and she has always had a way of making me do whatever she wanted done. And in listening to her with Little Wiz, she has told me about a book she wanted me to write, but it's something comical. And I told her, I said, I don't really want to get into that at this age because I'm 77. But she told me, well, I'm writing this to help you. And I read both of her books, three of her books, and they have all been so humbling. They have all been so heart feeling to me. And I've gotten something out of every book that she has written. And so for me, I'm just very proud of what she has accomplished in her writing to affect other people's lives.
That's beautiful. What about
Rashinda?
Yeah, Rashinda. Is that? Let me get my, well, anyway, let me go to a name I can read. Linda Hilton.
I'll talk.
Okay.
I would like to ask author Terry Strong, who is a strong woman, I would like to ask, what made you decide to start writing books? How did you become a writer?
How did I become a writer?
Yes.
The first book that I wrote, that the first time I wrote any kind of article or anything was in college when I was at Memphis State. It's University of Memphis now. I did articles for our college newspaper. And I've always been warned that wanted to express my opinion. I mean, it's like if I don't get it out,
Jeremiah.
If I don't get it out, and by writing it down, it's a more controlled delivery. You know what I'm saying? It's a more controlled delivery. I thank God for deliverance, because although I have never used profanity in my life, I could use regular words that could just cut just as hard, cut just as as deep. But I felt long as I didn't use profanity, it was okay. But that's where I got started. But my first official book written was We Wisdom. Okay, and We Wisdom turned into Little Wiz.
Okay, and do you see yourself continuing? I know you've written different kinds of books. I mean, there's one from prison to praise.
Prison to priesthood.
Prison to priesthood. There's another one. What's the other one? You've written one about So You Want to Become a Writer. I mean, how do you choose your topics?
I just pray. The Lord will give me inspiration. And usually the inspiration comes at inopportune times, while I'm in the shower, taking a bath. And I try my best to hold it till I get out, so I won't forget it. You know how you said, well, I'll write it down later. Later never comes. You always, a lot of times you'll forget it. I've forgotten so many topics that he's given me, but I try to be diligent to write them down as soon as possible. I actually have about a list of 10 books titles that I need to write.
Okay, and how do you find the time to write? Where do you find your time? And then I'll stop, Professor.
No, say no, hello to good question.
California for me.
I
live out there. Say hello. Miss the weather. Don't miss the rest of it. Miss the weather. Miss a couple friends. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor Terry.
Where do I find time to write? I write 24 hours a day. God sometimes will wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, write this down. It's, for me, it's from the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'll get a notion from here. And I try to do an outline. When he gives me a title, I try to do an outline of what needs to be included in this particular publication. You know, I try to get in mind what scriptures are going to be complementary. You know, I'm not a novelist. I'm a nonfiction writer. I believe you're supposed to be writing Christian romance. And so see, that's not me. I'm a nonfiction writer. And so I'm always writing. Always. And I love my phone, because my phone has this app on it. It's called Notes. Oh man, I use Notes. I mean, I use Notes all the time, all the time. And I even used AI on my last book that I just got finished with, So You Want to Be a Writer, teaching others how to write. I used notes. It's not I'm gonna sit down and write for an hour type thing. It is whenever the Spirit of the Lord gives me something, I'm going to jot it down, I'm going to put it in my notes, I'm going to sit at the computer and type it out. And the book Prison to Priesthood, he woke me up. The time is in the book where he woke me up and said, write this book. And he gave me the title. I got up right then. I know it was about 5:15 in the morning. I got up, came to the computer, typed that that title out. And for some reason, I was just hungry to write that book. It was amazing. And another book that I've got to publish, and then there was God. It has not been published yet.
That's the one.
That book right there. I mean, I was just addicted to writing that book. I was so intrigued by the feeling of, God, what are you going to say next in this book? You know, it was just that powerful to me. And I'm so ready for it to be published, but it's in God's time. Okay. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Thanks, Tana. Mashinda, you there?
Yeah, how you doing? Welcome back, Sister Strong.
Hey, Brother Mashinda, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How's your son doing?
He's doing wonderful. He's on.
He's still teaching that math, huh? Was it math?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I want to commend you on your work. You know, I know you've been talking about your writings and stuff in previous podcasts. And, you know, I think anytime someone comes up with something positive, you know, to put out to people that's going to reach the masses, you know, I think that's beautiful. That's, you know, something, you know, like you say, God inspired something positive. And I think that you made some good points about, you know, trying to reach people, you know, where they're at in the time that they're in your presence, you know, and trying to be as effective. And, you know, at that point, you know, no matter how much time they're going to spend with you, you know, it's all about being effective. And I think, like I say, a book like that, I haven't read it. Where can you purchase the book? Is it Amazon?
Anywhere online. It is on Amazon.
Okay. So, yeah, so I'm interested, you know, in checking it out. And, you know, like I said, I deal with a lot of people, kids, different ages and
folks, I tell and you, relatives. It'll help you out, I tell you.
Yeah, so.
It helped me with my kids.
Yeah, right. So, but anyway, but I just want to thank you for your work, and it's good seeing you. And I'm brief tonight, so you come back again now.
Thank you so much.
All right. What about Ann Gwynn? And
Ann? Hey, Ann.
We can't hear you, Ann. You're on mute.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Terry.
That's my cousin.
I have problems getting in, so I don't have Facebook or any of that stuff, so I had to figure out a way to get in.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Thank you for coming.
Oh, yes.
Rasa Key, you got any questions?
No questions. Just I commend you on your great work. You know I'm going to get the book. I should have had it already, but I get it and check it out, and I will give you it looked like Andre has something to say.
Okay.
Do any famous activists have a copy of the book?
Not that I know of. When you say famous activists, give me some examples.
Like a revolutionary, you know.
You know, that's going to be all a part of the marketing campaigns that we're getting ready to launch. We're going to launch Saturate Memphis locally. Then we're going to spread nationally very quickly. And Little Wiz is going to be a registered trademark. Well, he is a registered trademark. And he's going to be his own character. He's going to have his own cartoon. He's going to be a part of my my podcast that we're going to start.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, has a famous activist given a review on any of your prior books?
Yes. Actually, if you've heard of Jane Elliott. I actually sent her a copy of, I always send her a copy of my books, because the first book I sent her was Lynching Lynchism. And she enjoyed it so much. And she invited us out to California to come and see her. And we went and we had tea and crumpets, and we spent about 4 hours just talking with her. And she's such a wonderful, down to earth person. You know, she was the one that did the brown eyed, blue eyed study in her class in the 70s. And she's been an activist ever since. I sent her Little Wiz. She said, "Oh, great. I'm going to read it to my grandchildren." And so,
she has a copy of the book.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Okay. All right.
Yes, she does.
Reverend Strong, you don't think about book banned, and you don't think your book would be banned at the,
no,
all the positive things.
It's all positive. There's nothing negative in it.
Those are the ones they banned.
True. True. And I just wanted to say, this is, I don't even know if my voice can be heard.
We can hear right you.
Now. Yeah. Okay. I just want to say that I am very, very proud of my sister. Terry's my sister, and I'm the middle child. So, you know, I do what I do, but I do it well. But I am very proud of her. And what I try to do is applaud all these young, you have so many beautiful young people here doing so many positive things. And looking around, I think a lot of men are going to be needing this. Men never get the recognition that they need. We can talk about them. We can, I mean, so many, the few that are doing bad get all the publicity and everything. Mm-hmm. But there are so many doing so many wonderful things. I have a great granddaughter, and her dad is the one that's right there for her. And it's, you know, you don't even realize until you look around and say, you know what, it's some really good guys out there. It and is. We have to applaud them. We get recognition, and books like this and teachings. I learn something new every day. And I also learned that what Terry's doing is extremely positive. And I'm just proud for her and of her. And I think it's going to be a smashing success.
And you know what? Linda is the one that's doing the costume for the Little Wiz mascot. She is a tailor. And so I'm excited about the project she's doing for the book.
So you know it's going to be a smash.
Praise God for Linda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are so right there. Men somehow don't get the credit that they deserve when they're doing consistently doing the right thing by their wives and children, you know. And we as a Black community need to begin to lift up the traditional family, the being the husband and the good mother, the good wife, and those kinds of things, because that's what's going to get us back on track from all this foolishness that's going on. That's what I call it.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah. Are there any other questions or comments? HI 240.
Brother Hembrick, are you there, Joe? So, yeah,
hey, Brother Hembrick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fine, I'm fine. Just listening. A question or comment. My comment is, you know, you talked about the, you know, the family getting back restructured and this and that. I'm wondering about the significance of Lil Wiz. How much more significant do you think it could have been for our little children if he was a brother instead of a white boy? And number two, I'm sure that the television stuff and all that, if he was a brother, you probably couldn't even get there. But my thing is the African thing all the time. And that's all I research. And a lot of the credit that you've given the Holy Spirit and all this and that. I'm wondering also with the book you held up earlier with the little baby boy that Wiz came from. Can you hold that up again?
Uh-huh.
Not long enough for me to. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Little Wiz, when I saw him, I don't see in black, white, blue, brown. I don't see in colors. He just stuck out to me as a genius. His glasses are tilted, and all the little books and computers around him. He's even sitting on a stack of books, which screamed, "I'm quirky, but I'm brilliant." And that's what stuck out to me. I didn't care whether he was black, white, or whatever.
Well, excuse me, Dr. Uh-huh. Trump. You know, there's a whole lot of geniuses that, you know, that were our people. You ever heard of people like Imhotep and folks like that? Reason mm-hmm. I'm bringing this stuff up is because you have your viewpoint about why we're struggling and where we are.
Yes.
It's my contention that a lot of the reasoning for that is because what we do not know about ourselves. And when you refer to the Holy Spirit and God and, you know, the things that you refer to
mm-hmm.
out of the religion that enslaved us in the first place, I do research on what was before that and what our people was into, because they borrowed those things from the stuff that we already had, but we don't give ourselves recognition of that if we even know. So that's only my only point. And I don't want to get into a confrontational thing about religion or all of that.
Gotcha.
I've researched a whole lot of. I was a Bible thumping Christian, and the whole matter of fact, know the Bible better than a lot of Christians do. But anyway, once I got knowledge of, you know, what we were about prior to any religion in the world, it's the same perspective. The same values come from, and even higher, but it's not from that particular book, the B-I-B-L-E. And I see our boy is selling them for $55.90-something, trying to raise money not on it. But anyway, you're a good writer, apparently, and I just wonder how much more significant could it be on our children if Lil Wiz was a brother?
Well,
can I just inject?
Let me ask his question. Just one second.
Let me inject one thing into that. That was my question when the marketing director came to me about doing the mascot, and that was one of my concerns. And I was going to get with Terry because I told her there may be a need to, you know, make a few changes such as that. So,
I have two marketers.
Terry's open. She's open to those discussions. So it's good you brought that up.
Absolutely. Because I'm getting ready to tell him that just because this person is on the cover, Little Wiz, when we bring him to life, he's going to be multicultural. We've already discussed that in our marketing strategy, so that he can identify with anybody. So it's not a white or black or whatever. I wish we could all just be Americans. but we're hung up on color. And I think it's to the point where we were striving for equality, but we're hung up on it so much till it's began to divide us, keep us divided. So I can't negate my heritage. My grandfather was white. My great grandmother was Blackfoot Indian. So I can't claim Africa all the way. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of mixtures. I'm My DNA is so mixed up. I got two grades of hair on my head, one on the top and one in the back. And I know me and my sister Adi are sisters because she has the same problem.
Dr. Strong.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think what you're saying is very important. I have a question.
I hope I have an answer.
Have you recently come into this realization, or it's been for a while?
What's the realization?
About color.
Oh, I've known this a long time.
So the thing about it is I have similar thought processes as what you're talking about. And it's something of a, that we can discuss as, you know, our different perspectives.
Yes.
Come to the table. Now, when we, on our website, we have maybe the only community action is the Black Table.
Yes.
So how does the Black Table coincide with what you're talking about at this moment?
Because my hope is that the Black Table will really teach us how to be unified with others. You know, I've said this, I think, on another podcast before, and I said, if white people put white on everything we put black on, we would be highly offended, highly offended. And so how do we get to the point where we lift up Americans, lift up us up as a United States, lift us up as a multicultural, beautiful organism of a country, rather than segmented into colors? I think we are the only country that separates people, the citizens, by color. I don't know of another country that does that.
Mm. Oh, they do that all over the world. Matter of fact, if you black in a lot of places and touch the wrong thing, you can get put to death. But anyway, you know, America, you're talking about if we can all be Americans. The only Americans here now are the ones on the reservation. And as far as Americans go, but anyway, I'm gonna leave it alone. I appreciate you. I know you got your perspective, and you know, I wish you much success.
Thank you, Brother Hembrick. I appreciate you.
Appreciating what's been said, if I understand correctly. First of all, I want to commend you, Dr. Strong, for your relentless efforts to educate people through your writings
and to encourage
them to be better people. I want to commend you for your faith and its inspiration to you. And it's not just something you refer to, it's a resource.
Yes.
We appreciate that. There are a lot of people that had divine messages. Harriet Tubman said that God called her to do it. Nat Turner said that God called him to do it. You know, many of them, you know, they have a different perspective of Christianity, not a Euro-American one, but one from the spirit of being an African in America that chose Christianity for their religion. Martin Luther King movement was a religious movement. Civil rights was a religious movement by many churches. So, you know, we owe a lot to those that took that upon their faith and,
yes,
and became martyrs and became people that was committed to our liberation. And at the same time, there's there's a lot of criticism of people, but I'm not gonna get into that because there's a lot of contradiction. You know, Hitler said he was a Christian. South Africa during apartheid said they were a Christian. We're not talking about those that denigrate the name and their activities. They call themselves Christian, but act like they are not. It's the practice of the faith that gives you morals and ethics,
That's
that
right.
if you choose it. But at the same time, we can criticize America because the same America that enslaved us for hundreds of years and committed genocide on a Native American to take this land to the point that people don't even think Native Americans ever exist. But and that's what they're doing over there in Gaza. And those are not really Jewish people practicing Judaism. They're practicing Zionism and they're practicing Europeanism, which is to take land from people and then take their identity. But we'll get into that. The book, Wiz, I have a question.
Yes,
what do you want people to get from this character, Wiz? I mean, I know you say he's a genius, but from the standpoint of intellectual, and you have books around him that he studied, what about character? What message is that?
The message of character comes from the content of the book, because it is it's a book of quotes with a complimentary scripture that goes with it. Mm-hmm. And it's a book that really promotes parents going back to reading to their children. I had I was over to my nephew's house and he had the book, and I was saying, "Oh, I'm glad you got the book." And so he was showing it to his other guests. And the young man, when he gave it to him to show it to him, he began to, when he opened it up, it was, he was halfway through it. He couldn't put it down because of the wisdom that it shared. I just, you know, watched it. I just noticed what he was doing. And he was so intently reading it because it shares wisdom. It is a book that is filled with wisdom, and it's good for parents to learn.
Could you give us an example? Could you give us an example in the book of wisdom?
For instance, you know, I always said, I said before that it is life lessons of wisdom, and page 23 says, "I don't care who does wrong, you do what's right." Imagine if you told your child that every day before they left going to school, if you encourage them with something, some kind of instruction, some kind of wisdom that could hold them throughout the day. Week 8 says, if the truth hurts, let it. The lie you tell will do more harm.
Yeah, but
in other words, don't practice lying.
Yeah, you know, but
it's life lessons.
But in order to have a relationship to emphasize character, you have to be, as you said, a good parent.
And absolutely. You
have to win the hearts and minds of your children for them.
Yes, yes.
So there are parents that do what you say all the time, but the wild dog, sea dog, and D dog go out there and corrupt them. And, you know, you'd be visiting them in the jail that you worked at.
You're right.
So you got to build that strong strength and relationship. The other thing is, do you have a publisher or are you self-published?
This book was published by the Ewing's Publishing Company.
Okay, but I'm talking any of, do you market your book to publishers, or do you just have a relationship, or do you go out, you know, and
publisher,
send it to different publishers?
This particular
one
publisher
decided to publish it.
Contacted me and said, we want to republish this book that you have. He said, we've read it from cover to cover, and we want to redesign it, republish it, so that it will be more marketable. And they did a magnificent job. The previous publisher did a good job, but not as good as this publisher did.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ultimate goal is traditional publishing, where you have a standing relationship. And I don't know whether that's, you know, so I don't know whether that's to really be attained, because when you self-publish and you market it yourself, you keep 100% of your rights.
Mm-hmm.
But in a traditional publishing, they get part of your rights. So, mm-hmm. in this this day of digital, this digitized era, I think traditional it's going to put a dent in traditional publishing, because it's so easy to, it's easier and more profitable for an author to publish their own or partner with an independent self-publisher and then market it yourself. Like I said, we're doing a massive marketing campaign that's about to explode in the next month or so. And I am excited about that. I am humbled by that. And I'm just glad for it. I'm ready for the ties to go to my church, you know, to see all the projects that we we want done, you know, that type thing. So it can, it's a blessing all around. And I want this book to bless parents and children. Parents, because they can learn the lessons and teach the lessons and use the lessons on a daily basis. Remember what Little Wiz said, those kinds of things, you know. I want him to be a positive force for good, for making children good citizens, but teaching the word of God, eventually making them disciples for Jesus Christ is my goal.
Okay, then. Brother Rashiki, you want to close us out or what?
Yes, Dr. Strong?
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to leave us with?
I just, I want to leave one thing. Out of all the things that I gave my children, I tried to give them the moon if they wanted it for Christmas. You know, I tried my best to make sure that they didn't look bad when they went to school. They had all the things that they needed. They went on all the field trips, that they were never left out. But I learned that wisdom was the greatest gift I could give my children. Wisdom was the greatest gift out of all the gifts. So I hope that this book, Lil Wiz, keeps on giving wisdom, and it can it be the greatest gift that a parent receives and gives to their children.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate you being here and everybody.
Thank you so much for having me here.
All right. So tomorrow, everybody, I want to share the screen. Tomorrow we have a guest host on, Dr. Sherry Randolph. She's been on previously, maybe 2 to 3 times. And her guest is Jason Holmes. And the topic is going to be health and fitness plus nutrition. Well, that's tomorrow. And then Professor Rye, anybody next week?
I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so.
Next week is not the 9th. We're going to have Jerry Sergeant Ball on the 9th of April. Next week. I'll let you know. Okay. We'll probably have my son, Amen. He just got a new book out too.
Okay, well, good. Good. All right. So thanks everybody for coming. And this is open to the public. And you have the website. Go ahead, Dr. Strong. Andre, you have something?
Oh no.
Okay.
I was just waving. That's all.
I'll be glad when you come back.
yeah, man, it's been hectic, man. It's been so hectic, man.
Okay, I know you're a businessman, so we gonna.
I just want to tell you, I think last time I was on the show, I only had like one tax office. Man, I have 5 offices now, man.
Okay, well, I want a job. All right.
All right. Great job, Dr. Strong. You're doing a great work for the Lord. Continue.
Yes, thanks.
Well, I'm saying it to both of you all. Okay, I see one head nodding and the other one is not.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, church family. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Agnes. Thank you, Cousin Ann. Thank you, sisters, Linda and Ida. I appreciate you all, and I will see you all later. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Good
night.
Glad to join
in.
See you
Thursday,
Reverend.
All right. Have a good evening. Please. Well, everybody, Conscious Corner, and each one teach one. Mm.